It is a day of celebration for Our Lady. It is the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the best way to do that, what is to go to church? It's a holy day of obligation. And there's some other important things that we need to know about this very special feast day. Well, joining us today to help explain that, it's one of our favorite priests here in the Archdiocese of Portland. Father John Marshall is the pastor at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Milwaukee. And he's joining us today because he loves our Mama Mary. Good morning, Father Marshall. Thanks for being with us.
Always good to be here.
It's good. This is a beautiful feast day, a day to celebrate today, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But let's get to some base knowledge about what this feast day is. We throw around words within the church, we hear them. There are dogmas and there are doctrines of the church. So for the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, where does it fall into as far as the belief of the Catholic Church?
Yeah, so this great feast that just happens, you know, kind of near the tail end of summer, you know, is actually what we would say in the church, you know, in theology is it's a dogma of the church in which it's been solemnly defined by the church, by the magisterium. In fact, it was actually recently, you know, by the venerable Pope Pius XII in 1950, who define this as dogma in the Catholic Church, you know, for all Christians to believe that Our Lady at the end of her life was assumed into heaven, body and soul into heaven. You know, I think, you know, what's the difference between dogma and doctrine? You know, dogma is doctrine. It's just that this has been, you know, dogma is those things that have been revealed through sacred tradition and sacred scripture or teachings that have been, you know, solemnly defined by the church. And in fact, you know, there's only two that have been actually solemnly defined by the church, you know, and they all relate to Mary. One is the Immaculate Conception in the 19th century by Blessed Pius IX, and then also by the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary by Venerable Pius XII. So this is a teaching of the church that we, you know, that we believe that and profess that at the end of her life, Mary was assumed into heaven, body and soul. And, you know, it's a beautiful feast because it reminds us of where our destination is, you know, as sons and daughters, beloved sons and daughters of the Father, you know, that, and Mary has a role in that. She wants to bring us because we are her sons and daughters as well, that Jesus gave to her and we were given to her, and he was given to us, you know, and when he was crucified, so behold your mother. And so she wants us with her son Jesus, and so this gift of her being in heaven is also for us to see that that's where our destination is as well, as long as we're faithful, just like Mary. And so it's a reminder of our destination, our eternal destination.
Well, I guess that's kind of leads into my next question, Father Marshall. That why is it important that the church call the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary a dogma, meaning that Christ rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven? So that made it possible for all of us to do that. We understand that as well. So why is it a very important part of our faith to know, to be declared a dogma, that Mary was assumed into heaven?
Well, I mean, I think I kind of look at it in a couple ways. I first and foremost say, you know, our Lord was a good son, and who wouldn't want his mom to be close to him, right? And so it's like, that makes sense, you know. I mean, if you had all the power in the world, in the universe, you would want your parents to be with you. And of course, you know, who's more important, you know, not, no offense to our fathers, right? But to, we want our mothers to be next to us. And so of course I always see that. Of course, our Lord would want his mother close to him. But I also think, too, is, you know, Mary's role in salvation, Mary's role in the salvific mission of Jesus. And, you know, she shared, you know, in his redemptive work in a very special and unique way. And it began at the moment of her conception, you know, the other dogma, the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so, to see not just in the life of Christ that, you know, that what he did for us and to restore and save the human race, to give us access into heaven, to that the first fruits of the resurrection, to be given to another very important person in salvation history, and of course to our Lord, to his mother, that she is also an example for all of us that this is real, this is true, that Jesus, who is Lord, who is, yes, fully human and but also God, desires our salvation, wants us to be in heaven, and he shows us in the example of his mother that this also is possible for all of us, that he wants us to be with him for all eternity. And so as it happened to Our Lady, it so too can happen to us. So I think this solemnity of the Assumption, yes, honors Mary and her role in salvation history, and that she was faithful through the joys and sorrows, and I mean, definitely, even though she was immaculately conceived and all holy and sinless and ever virgin, she also had experienced the difficulties of life, the sorrows of life, but in the end, she remained faithful. And so this celebration is also a reminder for us of our eternal destiny, heaven, and the path that both Jesus and also Mary shows us in how we, ultimately can arrive at that eternal destination, that eternal destiny of heaven, being faithful to God's will.
Father Marshall, with these two dogmas of the church that you were just explaining, the Immaculate Conception of Mary, and then, of course, now her Assumption that we celebrate today, is there a link between those two events? Like, was it important for Mary's to be immaculate conceived in the womb of her mother that would link it to her Assumption into heaven?
Absolutely. I mean, so you just think about just this mystery of the Immaculate Conception, that our Lady, was preserved from the contagion and stain of original sin by the fruits of her son's passion, death, and resurrection at the moment of her conception, that she was this vessel in which God would enter into our humanity. And so and that, Ark of the she became becoming the new Ark of the Covenant, she was preserved from original sin, thus to be preserved from the corruption of the grave. And so there's that connection between the two, is that, because of just her role in salvation history, and this grace, this all-powerful grace that was given to her of being preserved from original sin, also that because of that uniqueness to her, to be preserved from the corruption of the grave. And so at the moment her earthly life ended, to be assumed into heaven body and soul. And so yeah, there's definitely a connection between the two dogmas that we celebrate throughout the course of this church year.
And there are many feast days that are set in our liturgical calendar for Our Lady, but boy, this is a big one that we celebrate today. It is the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Father Marshall, I've loved our conversation so far. There's some more I want to ask you about, especially about what it means that Mary was assumed into heaven. I'm already up against my break. Can you stay with me through the break so we can
Absolutely,
continue?
yes. Look forward to it.
August 15th is a day Catholics celebrate around the world. Today, it is the solemnity of the Assumption of Our Blessed Virgin Mary. Joining us today is back with Father John Marshall, pastor at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Milwaukee, as we look on this beautiful feast day and really what it means for all of us. Good morning, Father Marshall. Thanks for staying with me today.
Oh, happy to. Good morning.
Father Marshall, something I want to circle back to because I use these two terms, and I want you to explain for our listeners, maybe for somebody who's listening who is learning for the first time about what this feast day is. Jesus, after his resurrection and after he spent time on earth with the apostles, Jesus ascended into heaven. And the feast day that we celebrate today is the feast of Mary being assumed into heaven. So we've got two A words here, ascended and assumed. What's the difference in why one is for Christ and one is for Mary?
Well, I mean, I think because first and foremost, who Jesus is. Jesus is the incarnate God. He is the Logos. He's the Word made flesh. And so, so when Jesus, rose from the dead, he was in his glorified body. And of course, he spent 40 days following his resurrection to be with the disciples. And then, of course, on the 40th day, he ascended into heaven. He ascended his glorified body, divinity, humanity, sacred humanity, all assumed that was ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. And so I think, when we look at that as, because of who Jesus is, the Blessed Virgin Mary, of course, our Lord was like us on all things but sin. Our Lady too is fully human. She wasn't, she too was fully human without sin. Unlike her son, she wasn't divine. And so she is like us in all things, except for being immaculately conceived and sinless and all holy. So to sep in one way to separate, her son, that mystery we celebrate in 40 days after Easter, is that she, at the end of her life, that she experienced the fruits of the resurrection, that her body, her soul, her whole self, was lifted up into heaven, assumed into heaven. And so she already is at the state in which our hope is that that will be there as well, is that being faithful and persevering. That's kind of what every time I meditate on this particular mystery of the Rosary, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, is to think about Our Lady, that she persevered, and so it's a great intention to pray for, is final perseverance. And so the separation between the two is that yes, they both are in a way ascended, but our Lady is not divine. Our Lady is a human being like us and all, and that she was given this gift because of her role in salvation history to be the first to experience that which awaits all of us, as assuming we're all faithful and persevere through the joys and sorrows of life.
Father Marshall, I think that's a perfect word for the t today to reflect on is perseverance. And throughout our lives, we have these moments where we've got to remind ourselves, I am falling down, and the struggle that I'm going through is a lot, and I have to, anchor my life onto hope to pull me through these things. So when we look at the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, to persevere and look at that, somebody might think, look, Father Marshall, of course, Jesus was divine. He went to heaven. The Blessed Virgin Mary was conceived without sin. She didn't have that stain. And she was able to get through those stains, through the world and through her suffering, watching her son die. But for the rest of us, we don't have that kind of perfection. So how can her assumption be a model for us when, it's in today's day and age, it's impossible to be perfect like that.
Well, I mean, the thing is, we have everything at our disposal. Yeah, I mean, I guess in one way we can look, it's like, well, they had Our Lady had that advantage of being immaculately conceived, and just her heart and her will was totally united to the will of God, and she was sinless and all holy. Yes, I mean, but she had a particular role to play in the salvation history. We also have that sacramental grace. Of course, we're not, I mean, yes, we are going to sin, and we do sin, and so, but we have sacramental grace that keeps us, from despair and falling off the edge to fall. It's just a matter of us to get back up. And that's, I think, what I look at in this feast is we're given, with Our Lady, with our Lord, we're given our goal, heaven, eternal salvation. And it is possible because not only do we have our Lord and we have our Lady, we also have the saints. Today we celebrate Saint Maximilian Kolbe, these great witnesses for us, that they were also normal human beings, sinners. They had to go to confession, but they persevered, and remained faithful. You look at today's saint, that in the midst of a concentration camp in Auschwitz, that he still was faithful to his vocation as a priest, as a Christian. He was able to forgive those who persecuted against him and still have the love of Christ in the midst of sorrow, right? And Our Lady too, I think for us, you know, that she had moments of sorrow. You know, she had witnessed the death of her son. You know, she, I, and I, you know, there's the, you know, Our Lady, the experience she had after he ascended, you know, that she, there was some sense of, you know, longing for her son. And of course the absence in a way, of course, the Holy Spirit was there, you know, that she experienced, even though immune from sin, she experienced, you know, some challenges, yet she remained faithful. And I think why the church gives us this beautiful feast, not just because of, you know, this significant role Our Lady played in the, and what our Lord did for her because of her faithfulness. It's just a reminder for us that heaven is real. It's possible for all of us. And the path to do so is to persevere in the joys and sorrow and the sacramental grace that is available to us. You know, the Eucharist is the food for our journey. And when we stumble and fall, we go to our Lord in the sacrament of reconciliation. We live a life of prayer. Our Lady was a model for prayer. And so everything has been, is at our disposal. And part of it is just, you know, is going to our Lord. And we are given Our Lady, our Blessed Mother, who also to accompany us to her son. That's what she does constantly, is bring us to her son, Jesus. And that's why she's so important to me. And I think she should be important to all of us.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing about our faith life ends at Mary. She is always and continually imploring her to come to us and to Jesus through her. And it is just another way that we can focus on that today on this solemnity. It's a feast day. Father John Marshall is with us to celebrate this feast day. So with these important days in the life of the church, we celebrate, but it's a big one in the church, and there are some rules that go along with this. What can we do today, or what do we have to do today?
Well, of course, you know, that it's a holy day of obligation.
Yes.
Or sometimes it's, you'll hear Brother Priest and I say, it's a holy day of opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an opportunity for us to celebrate, you know, the Eucharist. And of course, you know, the obligation is there, you know, and, you know, it shouldn't necessarily be go to Mass because we're told to or because we're obliged to. It's because we want to. We want to celebrate the Eucharist and give thanks to the gift of Mary and the life and the vocation and her role in our lives. And so, but also to read exactly what she did for us. She brought Jesus into the world, and we received Jesus like she did in the womb of our life, and received the Eucharist. And so, of course, coming to Mass wherever you can, you know, in your local parish, but also to celebrate the feasts, you know, throughout the day. You know, ideally it would be great if we didn't have to work on solemnities. And,
oh yeah.
It should be like a Sunday where, you know, unnecessary work is prohibited. But, you know, of course, I think most of us have to work. It's a Friday. But I think it's meant, you know, to be a celebratory day. It's a day of solemnity. It's a day of joy. It's okay to feast, you know. And I know Friday is a, you know, meant to be a penitential day, but, you know, on these days and the solemnity falls on a Friday. In fact, the penance is kind of, you know, relegated, or it's the right word, but it's not required of that day because it's meant to be a day of celebration in moderation, of course. So we have to celebrate, you know, and to just and give thanks for the gift life of our Blessed Mother and her role in salvation history, but in art and the role and she has in our life.
Oh, amen to that. Celebrate well, and no better way to celebrate than by going to church and honoring our Lord in that beautiful way and receive the Eucharist.
The beginning of the day, right?
Absolutely. Father Marshall, always a great morning when you join us. Thank you so much for being with us, celebrating Our Lady today. Before we go today, please, will you end us in prayer and your blessing?
Be happy to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you have given your mother to us to be our Blessed Mother, to accompany us to your heart and ultimately to heaven. And so through her intercession as our mother and our queen, we ask her to be with us in the joys and sorrows of life. Mother, pray for us, smile upon us, and lead us to the heart of your Son. And through the intercession of Our Lady, who is our mother and queen, may Almighty God bless each and every one of us, our families, our parishes, our communities, our loved ones, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lady, assumed into heaven, pray for us.
Amen. Father Marshall, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you and happy feast day.
Feast day. Thanks, Brenda.